That's symbolic of the magical work of the soul. When this happens within us, when land, water, and air meet within us, then magic can be wrought also in the same way that it happened in the physical plane. This is a physical plane manifestation. That needle should float till somebody disturbs the water. But why does the needle float? Right, surface tension of the water, but what is the surface tension of the water? What in the world causes that? You know, even science hasn't come up with a really good explanation that we can understand on that. What's that?
Molecules holding hands.
Yeah, that's about as good an explanation as you can come up with. Molecules holding hands. Yeah, I haven't really read a good explanation of really what creates surface tension, but it is something that definitely exists, and it produces the magic of the possibility of metal floating on water.
Yeah, Patrick.
It's the most subtle division between different forms.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, air and water.
Yeah.
You know, one's in evaporated form, one's in a liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Our whole bodies are full of these surface tensions too within us.
Right.
It's interesting to contemplate about the place which is neither wet nor dry. When you think about it, it's kind of boggles the mind trying to picture a place which is neither wet nor dry. That spot where the metal is touching the water is really neither wet nor dry. So it's kind of interesting to contemplate. Now I think back to times in my life when the magical work of the soul took place for me. One of the first times it happened in my life was when I was young. Everybody wanted me to go to church, and I wasn't very excited about it because I thought it was really boring. And I felt kind of, you know, a little bit guilty, like, maybe I should go to church if I want to go to heaven and everything. So I kind of started going a little bit. And then I decided to read some of the scriptures. And then when I read some of the scriptures, I was amazed. I thought, wow, there's miracles in here and everything. How come nothing like that? I don't see anything that happens in the scriptures happening in my church. I mean, these people don't seem to realize what's in their own scriptures. And I thought, these things should be happening today. And I was just a young teenager, about 15 or 16 at the time. And I had one of my classmates get multiple sclerosis. And she was young, healthy gal, and all of a sudden, one day she was healthy, the next day she was just struck. And she was in terrible shape. And she lived not far from me, and I was walking by her place one day, and I saw her hobbling in her yard on crutches, you know, just barely able to take a step. I stood there and looked at her, and I felt really sorry for her. Thought, you know, the scripture says that whatsoever we ask in the name of Christ, he'll grant you. And I thought, what's stopping me right now from just commanding her in the name of Christ to be healed? What's stopping me? And I asked that question myself, and then I thought, well, the church teaches, and I was in the Mormon church at the time, and that, you know, you got to be in the priesthood to be able to heal people. But I'm not, I don't have the high priesthood yet, so technically I shouldn't be going around trying to heal anybody. But then I thought to myself, but what does the scriptures actually said? What the scripture I just read said, whatsoever you shall ask in the name of Christ it will be given. So it doesn't say anything about priesthood or anything there. It just says, if you ask in the name of Christ, it will be given. I thought, yeah, I according to Scripture, it doesn't really matter if I have the priesthood or not. If I have faith, I can ask in the name of Christ, and she can be healed. And I kept going back and forth in my mind, but then I thought, well, on the other hand, I may be wrong, because the church teaches I'm supposed to have this Melchizedek priesthood, or without that, you can't really heal. And so I was going back and forth. I was just standing there watching her struggling on those crutches and debating whether or not to do what the Scripture actually said. And then suddenly I thought, well, heck with it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. What can be wrong about me trying to heal somebody? It said, I thought, the Scripture actually doesn't say anything about priesthood. It just says if you have faith, you can command something and it will be done. So I said, I'm going to try it out. So I stood there and I looked at her and I stretched forth my hand and I says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to be healed. And the moment that I said that, amazing thing happened. I felt a surge of tremendous power go through me, and it was so powerful it almost made me fall down. And I thought, man, maybe God is striking me dead. Maybe I did the wrong thing. And it really made me, it really bothered me, and I ran home afterwards because I was really nervous. I thought, boy, sorry God, I didn't mean to interfere with the elders of the church, what they had to say. So anyway, a couple days later I saw her at school and she was walking around perfectly well. I thought, wow. And I went up to her and I said, hey, I thought you had a multiple sclerosis. She says, yeah, but I'm in remission. Doctor says I'm in remission. I feel great. I says, oh, that's good. And the funny thing about it, her remission stayed all through high school. We graduated high school together. And I never saw her again for, it was about the year 2000 or something that Artie and I were at the trolley house here in Boise. And she came up to us. She recognized me. I didn't recognize her. And because of my injury in my hand, my old friends can always recognize me even though everything else has changed. But that's one advantage I have. But she came up and says, you're Joe Dewey, right? And I says, yeah. And she identified herself. I introduced my wife, and I asked her, hey, when you had that MS, did it ever come back? She says, no, I've been healthy. My husband died, but I'm still in good health. So she's to this day, she's still in good health. Now, the frustrating thing about this is it would be great to be able to do that with anyone who is ill, because as many times in my life that I wanted to use this magical power of the soul, that it just didn't work, or something inside me told me not to. I had an uncle who had MS. He had it for about 40 years. And my dream was to heal him. And but he was a really good member of the church. He wouldn't even let anybody touch him unless they had the Melchizedek priesthood, you know, the higher priesthood in the church, because that was the way the church operated. You didn't really have healing power in the church, you know, unless you had that high priesthood. So I thought, when I get this higher priesthood, I'm going to see if I can heal my uncle. And so I tried, and when I put my hands on him, it's like I felt negativity, like he wasn't supposed to be healed. And so I just gave him a generic blessing. Went on my mission and came back and asked my grandmother, was taking care of him. We tried one more time, it still didn't work. And I thought, boy, that's too bad. There's some reason he's not supposed to be ill. And then me and my friend Wayne from the book were visiting him one more time. And he was really in bad shape. He was in his last legs. And he was laying on the couch and he couldn't move. He was just kind of half conscious. And I looked at him. I felt really bad for him. And I thought, boy, if I wish there was something I could do for him. And then a voice, inner voice came to me and it said these words. It says, this man has suffered enough. And that was our entire message right there. And so I thought, I said to my grandmother, can we give him one more blessing? And she says, sure.